Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
405 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. I'm telling you, it sounds so much better than, you know, that other name for today. We're that much closer to the weekend. My friend John Reed, who you're ordinarily listening to in the morning, he is out in Chicago at the DNC, the Democrats' National Convention. So we're going to chat with him about a half hour from now. I got a pair of tickets if you'd like to come on out on August the 31st. Casey and the Sunshine Band, talk about a great throwback. Heidi and I have dug through our closets. We found some old disco shirts, and we're going to go out and have a good time. So I'll give you a chance to win those tickets at 5:20 this afternoon. I have shared with you many, many times that on one of my bookcases, I have an entire shelf, and it's now spilling over, an entire shelf filled simply with the writings of Dr. Michael Brown. And Dr. Brown has been so kind throughout the years to join us on this program, to talk about his perspective, and to let us know that there is a voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity, even as we are standing in the line of fire. Dr. Brown, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's a joy to be with you, Jeff. And I was just going to tell you, I was with some colleagues, and we were just taking a look at the heavy hitters listing, the top talk radio broadcasts in the nation. And the most of all of them are on nationally syndicated. You know, Rush Limbaugh used to lead that for years. I'm going down. I said, "This is my buddy Jeff Katz on a local station." So you're doing something right, man. It's a joy to be with you.
Thank you very much. I am I'm thrilled to be on that list. I'm with some pretty good company there. And I guess I have to say, congratulations, Mazel Tov. You have been preaching just slightly less than I have been alive. We've both notched a couple of good decades, have we not?
Yes, August 21st, so just yesterday, marked 53 years since my first sermon at the age of 18. So it has been a joy to be out there preaching the gospel ever since. Just an amazing, amazing privilege.
Oh, well, we are blessed to have you. And as I say, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, I'm grateful every time you can make some time for us. We out here, Michael, need a voice for moral sanity. We need a voice for spiritual clarity more than we ever had. Our political systems have thrown us, I believe, into a point where we have never been pitted more against each other in this political arena, have we?
No, I can't remember in my lifetime, you know, 69 years old now, I can't remember the divisions being this deep, this extreme, this intense, the animosity, the hatred. You know, if you think back to a past generation, with rare exception, when there was a new nominee for the Supreme Court, Congress would debate a little bit. You know, Clarence Thomas, that got a lot of attack, or a couple of others, Robert Bork, but otherwise, pretty much they worked together. Now, everything is dramatically polarized, and it seems that the left has gone further left and the right has gone further right. Obviously, with our conservative values, we'll be more leaning to the right, but mm-hmm. we have to recognize that with things this volatile, there is no political solution that's going to change America. Yes, I prefer certain candidates and a certain party mm-hmm. over others, but there's no political solution that can heal America's wounds right now.
Dr. Michael Brown joining us. Michael, do you find that people are reaching out to you and saying, as a result of the most recent campaigning, I just find myself drawn more towards the world of faith and less towards the world of politics?
Yeah, so, for example, let's say that many of your listeners, like me, have voted GOP for years and voted for Donald Trump last couple of elections, say because of abortion issues, because of family issues, because of Israel, national security, those kind of things. So the problem is now, okay, the GOP, the platforms have been gutted. Yeah. The pro-life platform is just gutted. It's not there anymore. It's basically a statement against late-term abortions and let the states decide. Yeah. And then, okay, let's look at the pro-family platform where we oppose so-called same-sex marriage and hold to marriage as God intended it. That's gone also. And so other things that were important to us have just disappeared for political pragmatism and things like that. So again, I prefer GO policies to Democrat policies. And right. with all my misgivings against Trump and his character, I prefer Trump to Kamala Harris. But you better believe people are recognizing more and more that their vote plays an important role, but it is much, much, much less important than the role of us, who are followers of Jesus, believers, people of faith, bringing about positive change through the gospel, through biblical values, through loving God, through loving our neighbor. More and more people are realizing that and then saying, yes, now we understand why you wrote books like The Political Seduction of the Church. One of my colleagues said, Dr. Brown, I didn't get it, a younger pastor, but now I get it.
It is clearer than ever. That younger pastor, I think, is spot on. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Michael, because that is one of the books that I shared with, I think it was three other people in the not too distant past who were saying, gosh, I'm so disillusioned by politics. I just feel it's vacuous at best, and these important issues are being pushed to the side. I said, okay, well, here you go. You know, just tiptoe through this book, and when you're done, bring it back. I got like 80 other books by Michael Brown, and by the time you bring it back, he'll have written another book. But you are bringing people, helping to bring people, I want to say that, helping to bring people back to that realization. One of the things that you do, and I should remind everybody, thelineoffire.org is Dr. Brown's website, and it's a great website, thelineoffire.org. You say that you can help people find a voice of sanity in today's society. That's part of our problem, Michael, is that we're looking around at the society. Well, let me not speak for everybody else. I'm speaking for me. I look at the society and I go, you know what? I don't even recognize it. I mean, if we cannot decide, are you a boy or a girl? I don't know where we go after that.
Right. Exactly. It's like at a prayer breakfast where Mother Teresa spoke many years ago. She was, I think, a last-minute substitute. She spoke, and Bill and Hillary Clinton were there when she spoke fearlessly, this little woman from Calcutta. And one of the statements that she made about abortion was basically, when women are killing their own children, how can you get lower than that? Now, I understand in many cases of mothers dealing with an agonizing situation of a child that they're told is going to be terribly unhealthy and suffer, or maybe you've got a victim, a teenager who's raped. I understand they're agonizing situations. Right. But the movement that is celebrating abortion, that is shouting abortion, and that, you know, Planned Parenthood at the DNC is giving out free abortions and vasectomies, it's like, what in the world? And then people arguing that a biological male can share a locker room with a female and compete against her in sports, and a Supreme Court justice can't answer a question of what a woman is. What in the world is going on? It is a different world than we grew up. Look, even people have said the Democratic Party is not the old party of Bill Clinton, where it used to be we want abortion to be safe and we want it, but we want it to be rare, you know? We want it to be available, but safe and rare. No, now the big, big word that's being championed by the Biden-Harris campaign is what? The federalization of Roe v. Wade, which means the overturning of every pro-life law that has been passed in every state. This is radical, and in many cases, the laws, for any reason, right up until the point of birth. That's actually what's on the books. So it's a bizarre world we're in. The good news is, I've said for many years, and you've followed me long enough to know this, Jeff, that there's going to be a pushback, that there is going to be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution, and the tide is going to turn. And I've known for many years that those on the radical left will overplay their hand, will go too far, and it will cause a cultural pushback. And that's what we've been seeing. I mean, gay pride, June of this year, was a lot tamer than gay pride last year, a lot softer than last year. The Target boycott, the Bud Light boycott last year, this was not led by Christians. Kid Rock is not a Christian shooting cans of Bud Light. This is just the general society saying, this is crazy. Things have gone too far. The tide is actually turning.
Michael, I'm curious to know, as you look at these folks with Israel, I was supposed to be in Israel this week. I've never been, and it was supposed to be my first trip, and I was so excited and what have you, and then it got canceled because of security concerns. What are your thoughts? Because I know you're a world traveler, my friend. What are your thoughts as you look at the candidates here in the United States and the things that are being said about Israel? What do you see as the short-term future?
Well, there's no question that when it comes to Israel, I have to vote Republican, not Democrat. That's another issue. And when asked, who do I feel is a better friend of Israel? No question, Donald Trump versus Kamala Harris.
Right.
And Biden would have been a better friend, President Biden, a better friend of Israel than Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. So no question about that. Israel is in an incredibly tenuous situation, Jeff. I've been there 18 times now. Last time I was there in June, I visited the site of the Nova Music Festival, where 250-plus Israelis were massacred. I visited another lot, which is where they have just cars that are just completely burnt, stacks and stacks of them, cars with the windshield just shot out, bullet-ridden and things like this, the result of October 7th. And Jeff, within days of this happening, before Israel had launched a real offensive, there were Muslims at the Sydney Opera House, outside the Sydney Opera House in Sydney, Australia, chanting, "Gas the Jews." Oh. This is the madness of our society. Over half of Gen Z says that Israel should be ended and given over to Hamas. This is the result of massive indoctrination. When I was in Israel a few years back, everywhere I went, I saw signs for Donald Trump. I was trying to talk to some Israelis about Jesus, and they said, "First, what do you think about Trump? We love Trump." So it was quite amazing to see, actually. In fact, I would say that Trump is more popular in Israel than Netanyahu, with half the nation loves him, half the nation hates him. You know?
Right.
And here's the other thing. Trump's policies would be best for the Palestinians and the surrounding nations. In other words, if you put down the weapons and work with Israel, you can have a time of prosperity. Your everything can be enriched and lifted by working together. If you simply say, okay, we don't want to kill you and destroy you and drive you out, let's live side by side, there could really be peace and prosperity for the Palestinian people in Judea, Samaria, and in Gaza, as well as for the surrounding nations. So on that score, true, Trump definitely is the way I would vote in terms of Israel.
Right. I worry, as you do, about Gen Z, some of the folks. You know, I got two boys, one who just graduated from college, one who's in college, and eavesdropping is such an ugly term, but I listen. I pay attention to what they're saying with their friends, and I hear them repeating lines, and it's almost like they have become part of the club. Not my boys per se, but their friends, you know, from the river to the sea. And I just want to jump in there and say, do you even know which river? Do you know which sea? Do you know what that means? And many of them don't know. They just think, well, this is kind of like the cool kids, and I get a keffiyeh, and I'm in with the in crowd. And there's just no thought about what it really means.
Yeah, and see, a strength of Gen Z is empathy.
Yes.
And they've been really raised and taught that you side with the outsider, you side with the one that's oppressed and put down. That's why so many identify as someone in the LGBTQ spectrum, as many as 40%, even though only a fraction are actively engaged in same-sex activity or have gender confusion. They want to identify with their friends and with the ones that are marginalized. So the narrative they've heard is everything is the colonizer and the colonized. Israel is the colonizer, the Palestinians are the colonized. Israel is the evil oppressor. Yep. The Palestinians are the oppressed. Israel is consists of white Jews, which is a ridiculous statement, an exaggeration, misstatement. Israel consists of white Jews. The Palestinians are the oppressed people of color.
Yep.
So that's the narrative that they've heard. Mm. Things have shifted so dramatically from when Israel was fighting for its survival, you know, out of the ashes of the Holocaust, the miracle of modern-day Israel being born, and then surrounded by nations trying to wipe them out and somehow surviving, that's shifted now. So what we have to do is say, hey, we care about everyone in the Middle East. The death of a Palestinian child is just as grievous to us as the death of an Israeli child.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And where Israel does wrong, we're going to hold Israel to account. But here's the difference. Israel is sending out hundreds of thousands of leaflets saying, we're going to bomb your area because there is a terrorist enclave there. Get out, or we're going to help you resettle in another part of the country to deal with terrorists. Or they actually send out robocalls on cell phone and text saying, we're going to be bombing this building because it is a terrorist enclave. Get out. You don't do that when you're trying to commit genocide. You don't do that when you're trying to wipe people out. In contrast, Hamas intentionally targets civilians, targets children, targets innocent. commits all types of atrocities, barbaric things against them. I saw the 47 minutes of footage compiled by the IDF of just, here's the actual camera footage from what happened, the body cams of the terrorists or the CCTV filming in the villages. I mean, it's mind-boggling, it's ugly, it's horrific. And then the Hamas terrorists were joyfully posting this. You see them drive into Gaza with some Israeli young woman, you know, just dead in the back seat, and they're celebrating and handing out candies. So there are very, very different mentalities at work here. And as we educate people, it's not to create hostility towards the Palestinians or the people of Gaza or the West Bank. What we should say is, yes, free Palestine from Hamas.
Yes.
They're the ones bringing destruction on their own people.
Absolutely. Thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org is Dr. Brown's website. And Dr. Brown, I always try and share you with as many people as possible. You've got a marvelous radio program, which, you know, we compete for about an hour or so. So I got to go back and listen to the podcast or watch the YouTube, which is fantastic. I continue to read and reread what you've written. I'm just so personally thankful that you've been doing what you've been doing, as you said, for 53 years. You talk, in fact, now I have mentioned to people your healthy living, right? A holy sense of eating for the last 10 years has got you, we're hoping for another 69 years.
Oh, listen, I've been getting younger. Every, you know, I just realized I posted 53. It's 51, 1973 to 2024. It's actually 51 years, because I'm thinking, wait a second, 53 plus 18 is 71. I was 2 years ahead, but that's how enthusiastic I am. No, listen, my wife told me, I was working out with two of my team members, and they're Gen Z, millennial, you know, borderline. Mm-hmm. I was working out with them, so they're in their mid-20s, and she told me afterwards, she said, honey, you can't work out with guys in their 20s. It's not safe for them. So,
I love it.
I'm getting renewed. Radical Healthy Eating, our book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. Nancy and I lay it out. And, yeah. And in fact, August 24th, I celebrate 10 years of healthy eating. It has been an incredible journey.
I love it. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put a direct link up for the for that whole book about eating, because in addition to everything spiritual, we got to take care of the body that we've been given, and you're leading the way on that. Dr. Brown, I am always grateful that you take time for us. I am, as you know, grateful that you write and speak and do everything that you do. You're an absolute blessing, and I thank you for being here, my friend.
Oh, thanks. And really, when I was going through that list and I've seen your name on it, I was so proud of you. When I see some of the awards you've gotten and your relationship with your daughter, some of the special things, when I see it, I ask my buddy, I'm proud of you. Keep up the great work. And maybe you'll come to Israel on a tour with me one day.
It's a deal. You tell me when, I'm there. I can't wait. That is Dr. Michael Brown. I'm telling you, one of the best guys out there. And I, you know, every time I have Dr. Brown on, I have people say, wait a minute, Jeff, I read this that he wrote, I didn't like it, or I disagreed with this, or I agreed with that. That's the sign of a great writer, isn't it? Isn't that the sign of somebody who is forcing you to think? I love that. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 434, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Don't say that other word. I don't know. I just think Friday Eve sounds more hopeful. And, you know, we're that much closer to the weekend, which is always good, right? Yeah, that's the way I look at it. We're, let me see. I don't know, about 40 minutes away from your chance to win some tickets. Casey and the Sunshine Band coming to Meadow Event Park in Doswell. That is the Atlantic Union Bank After Hours show at Serve Pro Pavilion. My buddy Matt Krieger puts that on. And it's a great show. And by the way, Heidi and I have already announced we're going to be there. Now, you and I are not necessarily hanging out, but we found some old disco stuff, and we're going to have a blast and a half. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to win those tickets at 5:20-ish this afternoon. Our good friend Dr. Keith Abloh is going to be joining us at 5:33. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is rumored right now to be dropping out of the presidential race officially tomorrow and endorsing Donald Trump. That's the buzz right now. And I wonder if the Democrats in Chicago are hearing that buzz. Are they concerned about that buzz? I don't know. But my friend John Reed, who you know every morning at 6 a.m. is right here, is actually out in Chicago. He has parachuted behind enemy lines.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
For the Democrats' National Convention, and he's joining us for a few minutes. John, thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you, Jeff. It's been a very interesting experience sharing the hotel with a lot of Democrat activists who are here as delegates, and they assume that I'm one of them until we start talking, and then the conversation is abruptly ended. But it's yes, they have heard about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the possibility that he will endorse Donald Trump. Some people that I've, you know, I'm by myself, so yeah. When I eat, I can't help but eavesdrop. Mm-hmm. And some of these people are very angry about it, and some of them are saying, who cares? Nobody's basing their vote on Robert Kennedy Jr. I don't know that, you know, this thing's going to be decided state by state within 1 or 2 percentage points, which is likely.
Yep.
Anybody who drops out, who's got voters, and they go to one of the two candidates, you have to pay attention to that. So I'm sure they're not happy about it, but I personally think it'd be great if that libertarian streak and the folks who've been following Robert Kennedy Jr. say, hey, let's keep this away from the new Democrat Party, because it ain't the party of John Kennedy. That's or right. Robert Kennedy Sr.
That's exactly right. Now, you know, we had a little analysis on it, and the internal numbers from the RFK Jr. camp showed that the votes he was taking, right, because, you know, he's taking votes, they were actually splitting that he was 60% of his support was actually coming from Trump voters and 40% from, I was going to say Biden voters, but, you know, Harris voters now. So it could very well be just a percentage of a percent here and there, but it might be enough to help President Trump right over the finish line.
And if he has something compelling to say tomorrow, that's interesting. I mean, he is a figure that a lot of people listen to, people who are tired with both parties. So depending on how strong his endorsement is, assuming that that's what actually happens, mm-hmm. that could be something that moves some people.
Tell me what you're expecting tonight, right? Kamala Harris is actually going to accept the nomination. She hasn't been the winner of any primary or caucus, but they just decided to throw the rule book out. So tonight's the night, right? She gets the official nod?
She is already the official nominee because they had the roll call that was artificial.
Yeah.
On the computer a little while ago, a virtual roll call, and then they did the ceremonial roll call. This whole thing is as fake as anything I've ever seen. I mean, you know, these conventions, they're not really making any decisions anymore.
Right.
Honestly, Jeff, you've watched this a long time. I think the last time a real decision was made at the convention where there was, you know, horse trading was Reagan picking George H.W. Bush in 80, right? There was a debate about whether it would be Gerald Ford.
Yep.
And then Jerry Ford wanted to be co-president, and Reagan said no.
Right.
I think that's the last time any real decision was made. So tonight, it's what I'm curious about is Kamala Harris going to change the tone of what she's talked about in the 3 weeks since she's been anointed?
Right.
And be nice and talk in a moderate way, or is she going to double and triple down on the socialist agenda, the communist agenda, I would actually say, that she announced last week? And this crowd will love it, but I don't think middle America is going to embrace that.
Well, I mean, John, take a look at who's been speaking so far this week and how they've been speaking. Oprah Winfrey, worth $3 billion, told us not to trust rich people. And, you know, Michelle Obama, with a personal wealth of $70 million, said rich people are bad. And they proceeded to trash J.D. Vance for going to Yale, even as there was a whole night where I think it was everybody had gone to Yale. It just, if we ever were going to encounter a time like ancient Rome, this is it. This is bread and circuses.
It's crazy, and it's been hypocrisy on parade, and this crowd just eats it up. because they hate Donald Trump so much. I mean, that's the key thing as I've watched it. And as I've eavesdropped on people, they hate Trump more than they love Kamala Harris. She's just the vehicle, I think, that they're convinced is their best hope at getting rid of or keeping Donald Trump from returning to the White House. That's not a really strong position to be in when inflation is as high as it is and World War III may be about to start at any given moment. And find me something that they can trumpet as their big success. I don't know what that would be. And maybe that's why when they got in the room and said, what do we say at this thing? They just decided, let's trash Trump. Everybody take your turn at beating up on Trump. And there are enough people who don't like him. Maybe we'll remind them why they don't like him. And that will be the victory, the secret sauce. I hope it doesn't work. That's not good for us as a country, I don't think.
No, and let me remind everybody, John Reed is joining us. John, of course, hosts our morning program starting each and every morning at 6, does a great job there, and is out in Chicago for a couple of days for the Democrats' National Convention. I had a friend of mine that said that the Democrats hate Donald Trump more than they love America. And I'll tell you, John, I am always leery of those big sort of statements. They usually hit me as just way too hyperbolic. But I'm looking at this, and we've got a road over here with Donald Trump that says, you got a shot, right? You got to make your way. You can live the American dream. And over here, we've got a road. I would dare say the road to serfdom or the road to perdition. This is a road that says we will make the choices. You know, we in the federal government will decide how much your asparagus are going to cost. And then when nobody grows them anymore, we'll blame the billionaire farmer. I don't want to say it's the most important election ever because we hear that too much, but I got news for you, man. This might very well be the most important election ever.
Yeah, it's a fork in the road for us as a people. The good thing for those of us who are conservative, who are traditionalists, who are capitalists, is that the contrast couldn't be clearer. Yes. You know, whether you like Donald Trump or not, if you look at what occurred in the first 3 years of his time in the White House, even against all of the hostility from the radicals in Washington, he delivered for everybody, rich, poor, black, white, young, old, gay, straight. I mean, everybody was doing better. Yeah. And then you look at what these guys have delivered, if Joe Biden even knows what he was doing. I mean, the Harris-Biden team, it's pretty dismal. And the things that they're proposing aren't fresh. They're not new. They're tried, and they've delivered misery around the world. And I think we have an obligation to keep telling that story so that everybody can make an informed choice. I'm not going socialist and communist. I've seen what happens in other countries that do this. We saw it in the 70s when Richard Nixon tried that with gas. Yeah. And I think if people are informed of the historic failures here, they're just not going to embrace it because they don't like Kamala Harris that much anyway. So it's not like she's a big salesperson.
Yeah, no, let's go down that path for a second. John Reed joining us. John, of course, hosts our award-winning morning show. I almost forgot to mention that. And starts at 6 a.m. So you're there. You do get the sense then that this is a collection of people who hate Trump. There's no doubt about that. But you're saying they don't necessarily love Kamala Harris. So what about Tim?
Some of them.
Do they like
some of them.
You know?
Listen, this is their hope. You know, this is the team that's been chosen for them. Now, I personally would resent it if we hadn't gone through a primary process with Republicans and some bigwig had just said, well, it's going to be Nikki Haley, and you all shut up and get behind Nikki Haley, or it's going to be Ron DeSantis, who I actually like a lot. Yeah. I would not like that. I would be resentful of that. I'm not detecting that with this group. I think they want to win. They do like, you know, everybody likes the idea of making history, right? And Kamala Harris, first woman, first person of color. Yeah. I think, you know, the Democrat mindset is wired to recognize those things and probably elevate them beyond their importance reality.
Yeah.
So they do seem to be excited about that. Plus, let's be honest, Jeff, these people paid about $5,000 a piece to be here. So they're gonna have a party. They're gonna enjoy it while they're here, I think.
Well, you know, while they're trashing the millionaires and billionaires, I heard that those the suites and things at the convention were $5 million a piece. Is that right?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. You know, this is the big money. This is when you bring in your big donors, you wine them and dine them, you give them access to Everybody in Congress and the people who may make up a new administration, they get to go home with selfies with all the famous people. And, you know, the Democrats have all the Hollywood types.
Of course.
So they get to, you know, rub elbows with rappers and I'm told maybe Beyonce tonight. But it's interesting. In just a couple of minutes, guess who I'm going to get to meet?
Beyonce.
Not Beyonce. I don't think she's coming to Ronald Reagan's boyhood home because I rented a car after I finished the show, Jeff, and I rented a car. I drove out to Dixon, and I'm actually speaking to you on the front porch of Ronald Reagan's boyhood home in Dixon. I just left the tour and said, I got to talk to Jeff Katz back in Richmond. So I'm sitting on the front porch, probably the same view that he had when he was a middle schooler here in Dixon, Illinois, and in a few minutes I'm going to go talk to Dennis Quaid, who's the star of the new Ronald Reagan movie that opens, and they're having the red carpet premiere here in Dixon tonight. And George Allen, the former governor, was on the morning show the other day and said, "Oh my God, John, you're in Chicago. You should meet us." And I said, "Well, don't tempt me because if it's between Kamala Harris and Dennis Quaid, Ronald Reagan, George, and Susan Allen, guess who I'm picking?"
Well, I will be anxiously awaiting those selfies because I know they're coming. You're going to get a few photos as well. You should. Do they have a, it sounds so crass, but do they have a souvenir shop at Ronald Reagan's boyhood home?
That's a good question. I need to go in this. They do have the next door house has been converted to a welcome center. So I got to duck in there and see. You want me to get you something if they have a little souvenir?
Anything.
Okay.
Anything. I mean, it's for some people it's going to be odd, but the reality is for those of us who I hate to say it for us, John, but because I've got a couple of years on you, but for those of us who are of an age that we do remember President Reagan just putting everything back in order fundamentally, and I long for someone like Ronald Reagan. I will take anything that they have there. I would just feel thrilled to have it. I really would. So yeah.
Well, I will try to find the gift shop, and if not, I'll try to steal a program from the red carpet premiere. Now, here's the great thing that you're going to appreciate as much as I do. I'm sitting on the front porch, and I'm looking across the street, and there's a big Donald Trump sign in the neighbor's yard across the street. So I'm hoping that's some sort of symbolism that I can take towards the future here.
I love it. Well, John, I am very happy for you. I'm a tiny bit envious and jealous, and you know, not enough to turn me green, but I absolutely am happy you're getting that chance to do what you're doing. Any idea what you might be looking at tomorrow morning?
Well, of course, we're going to play the clips from whatever Kamala Harris has to say, and then we're going to have a bunch of folks who are going to share their reaction to that. We've got a spokesperson from the Trump campaign. I'm not sure who that's going to be yet, who will tell us the official campaign readout. So it should be an interesting analysis of whether she bombs tonight or whether she is America's sweetheart, which I don't think is likely. We'll see.
Well, it'll be interesting, and hopefully there will be enough people that understand the truth that they vote with an informed mindset as they go out to vote. John, I appreciate you squeezing us in as you're sitting there on Ronald Reagan's boyhood porch. Man, oh man, that is
pretty cool. Thank you. Yeah.
Have a great evening, buddy. That is John Reed. Now, first thing tomorrow morning at 6, you have to be listening to John. John is actually in Chicago for the DNC convention. As you heard, he's actually in Dixon, Illinois, sitting on Ronald Reagan's boyhood porch, the porch that he sat on when he was a young man. And I am absolutely envious. I really am, because I think that would be almost like a trip to, I don't want to say the Holy Land, that's maybe blowing it up a little bit, but you get what I'm saying. That would be very cool. All right, it is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 54, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Thanks again to my buddy John Reed for dropping by, joining us from Dixon, Illinois, the childhood home of Ronald Reagan. And you will need to listen tomorrow morning at 6 to hear all about this. He's also going, if I understood it correctly, is it an actual screening of the new Reagan movie starring Dennis Quaid? Have you noticed that the social media companies are all in a tizzy about this? It was Facebook, was it not, that was not allowing ads for the Reagan movie because they had deemed them to be political, which, of course, makes no sense. It makes no sense. But we're living in a day and time, I got to tell you something, where there's very little that makes sense. People who are supposed to be, quote, reporting don't do that anymore. Judy Woodruff from PBS, that piled BS public state radio television operation. She reported that Donald Trump was telling Benjamin Netanyahu, don't take any deal for the hostages because it'll give a boost to Harris and Biden. Now, she reported that as if it were fact. Then on X, she came back and said, never mind. Forget about it. That didn't actually happen. Can you imagine that? I mean, it boggles the mind to think of the gross incompetence that you can find at so many so-called media outlets. Oh, by the way, it's cool. Germ just says, X is now sort of the back page section. That's true. How many people actually follow anyone on X? They did an analysis when it was Twitter, and it's such a tiny number. Such a minuscule percentage of people who are involved with now X, but formerly Twitter. And you get somebody who says something, it gets amplified, it may or may not go viral, and all of a sudden you think it involves everybody. It doesn't. So when Judy Woodruff makes this claim on PBS, all of those PBS people, I guarantee you, they're card-carrying leftists, right? They take that to the bank or whatever socialists have. They don't have banks because they don't believe in, well, they believe in your money, I know. But anyway, so they hear that, they believe it. Then she comes back to say, oh, yeah, that's not really true. But she doesn't do it on the air. She has a small little tweet she sends out on X. Crazy, crazy, crazy. All right. Not crazy. About 25 minutes from now, I got a chance for you to win a pair of tickets for KC and the Sunshine Band. We're going to give them away at 5:20-ish. Also coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, my buddy Dr. Keith Abloh. I want his analysis of what's going on in Chicago for the last week. 4:57, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.